I just want to continue sharing with you about faith. Is your faith rising as I share with you about faith? Wow. Okay. So today I want to share with you how to develop or increase your faith. Amen. How many would like to have more faith? How many would like? Because we already saw from the previous lessons or the previous messages how that faith can help you a great deal, isn't it? We talked about five or six areas of your life where faith can help you, isn't it? We need faith. Number one is what? Your relationship with God, isn't it? Number two is your personal needs being met. Amen. Number three, have faith for what? Achieving our goals and overcoming our challenges. And then number four, have faith for what? To create your world, isn't it? And then number five, for a more excellent sacrifice. Hallelujah. Right. There are many more applications and blessings from our faith, but I'm going to skip that for now. And I'm going to go to sharing with you about how your faith can increase and how your faith can develop. Say amen. Right. Now, to be able to do that, you need to understand, first of all, that there are types of faith. The Bible talks about different types and levels of faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to share the Word of God. We pray that in this short time, Lord, your Spirit will be with us. We pray for encouragement, for utterance in the Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for you to open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of your law. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So the Bible talks about different types of faith. Amen. Just as there are types of virtually anything, you know, cars, houses, jobs, food, anything. So also we have types of faith. Amen. So the Bible talks about more than one type of faith. For example, one type of faith is what the Bible calls little faith. Little faith. Little faith can be found in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 30, 14 and verse 31, where Jesus spoke to the people and said, "O thou of little faith." So your faith is so little. He was talking to Peter. Peter was trying to walk on water because he saw the Lord walking on water. And he thought, this is really cool, you know, and I'd like to try it. Even though it doesn't bring anything. It doesn't, you'll not get paid for it or anything like that. But, you know, why not? The Lord is walking on water and coming towards me. Why can't I walk on water to go meet him? Isn't it? So Peter wanted to try that. And in the middle of doing that, he began to doubt. And then as he started to doubt, he began to sink. And so Jesus looked at him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Hallelujah. So it means that you can have faith, but it's little. Hallelujah. Now, sometimes having not enough of a good thing is the same or similar to not having it at all. Hallelujah. Not having something can be the same as having the thing, but not enough of it. In both cases, you don't benefit from the use of such a thing. Hallelujah. And so, it's not enough to have some faith. Because the Bible teaches that God has dealt with every man, or God has given to everyone a measure of faith. So every one of us has some faith. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Let's read that verse very quickly so you can see this. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. It says, God, according Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Amen. So he was saying that nobody should think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, but they should think soberly. Everyone should think soberly, you know, in consistency with the faith that God has given you. Hallelujah. So God has dealt with every man a measure of faith, or the measure of faith. God has given you some amount of faith. Amen. Now, whatever amount of faith you have is not meant to be all the faith you will ever have. Hallelujah. I don't know why God gives some people more faith than others, but at least God gives everybody some faith. Amen. We read the story of the parable of the talents, you know, for example, and we see that the master came and he gave three servants who were working for him, three people all working for him, but he gave some one person five talents, and then he gave to another person three talents, and then to another, five, two, and one, isn't it? Five talents, two talents, and then one talent. And the Bible says he gave to every man according to his ability, what they could do. Hallelujah. So sometimes when you work with people, you know people. And you know what they can do and what they can't do, even though they all have the same job title or they all have the same, you know. The truth is that we're not all capable of the same things to the same extent. Is it not the case? Hallelujah. You see, for example, we're all born. Everyone is called a boy. Then we start to shoot up. And then we go up. We go up. We go up. And then some people get here and they stop. And then others keep going, and then they get there, and they stop. But we're all boys. Are you getting what I'm saying? So God gives, and no boy is better than any other boy anyway. Do you understand? But what it is that God gives different measures of different things to people. Hallelujah. But whatever God gives you, where faith is concerned, is not meant to be all that you have. Because you will find that you need more faith, or you need to accomplish more things with your faith than the faith you have. Amen? As you go across life, and as you live your life, you're going to find yourself coming into many different situations that call for more faith than the faith that you have. Which means then that you need to develop the faith that you have. So whatever measure of faith you find yourself having, you need to build upon that faith. You need to develop that faith. You need to exercise that faith. God never meant for you to be stuck there with your little faith. But God intends for you to have even more faith. Hallelujah. So you will see again another type of faith in the Bible is great faith. Okay? Great faith. You find that in Matthew chapter 5 and verse chapter 8 and from verse 5. Matthew chapter 8 from verse 5. It's a very simple story, but let's read from verse 5 to verse 10. It says, and when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Hallelujah. So here, Jesus is commending this man's faith and describing it as great faith. Hallelujah. Now, you realize how that even for going to Jesus as a source of healing for his servant is a sign that he had faith, isn't it? Because if he didn't have faith in Jesus, he would not be bothering him, because he didn't go to the mayor, he didn't go to the other people in town, isn't it? There were so many other people, perhaps easier to see than Jesus. Jesus always had a big crowd around him, you know. And yet this man, he was a very important person. He was a military man, military general, a centurion. That means someone who's in charge of at least 100 people, you know. So he was a big guy. He must have had access to other big guys. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, big guys always have access to other big guys. You know, they play at that level, isn't it? So he must have had access to other people, other powerful people, powerful politicians, maybe powerful doctors, specialists, and so many other people who could help him one way or the other. But instead, he came to Jesus, isn't it? Go back to verse 5. He came to Jesus, and in verse 5, you can see again how that he says, verse 5. He says, when Jesus was entering into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. So the man came to Jesus and he begged him. And he came to say, my servant, my precious servant is very sick. You know, sick of the palsy. And he's grievously tormented with this thing. And I know that you can do something for me. I have faith. I've seen you do it for others. I've seen you heal other people, and I have faith that you can do it. Hallelujah. So Jesus, seeing that the man had faith, verse 7. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Hallelujah. I will come and heal him. I will come and heal him. Then suddenly the guy tells him, oh, you don't even have to come. Do you understand? This is the difference between little faith or some faith and then great faith. Hallelujah. Because some faith or having a little faith or having some amount of faith makes you say that God can do it. But when a person has great faith, he says that you don't even have to come to my house. He says, I believe in the power of the words. Just stand right where you are and say something. I just know that it will make a difference. Hallelujah. So it's a level. It's a place where your faith can get to. Your faith can get to a place where you believe in the power of words. Do you understand? You believe in the power of prayers of a man of God. You know that if I can get the man of God to say some words from where he is. Hallelujah. When people don't have faith, they demand all kinds of things. Do you understand? For example, there's a story in the Bible where an army general, again, I don't know these army generals, but this was another army general who had a problem. This time, he himself was a leper. You know, he was a big guy in the army. The Bible says he was a mighty man of valor, and through him, the Lord had conquered so many armies and so many different armies that came against the people of Israel. Do you see? And this man was great, very well decorated military general. The problem was that he was a leper. You know, that's how life is. Sometimes you see that somebody is great at this and great at that and has so many wonderful credentials, and they keep talking and listing the credentials until we get to the but. You know, and usually when the but comes, it just cancels everything and makes nonsense of everything else that is working for that person. Hallelujah. So you can see how this man, his name was Naaman. And the Bible says he was a mighty man of valor and he had conquered so many armies, but he was a leper. Hallelujah. Now that also tells you that you don't have to wait for everything to be perfect about you to have victories. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It tells you that you don't have to wait for all your ducks to be lined up in one perfect row for things to work out for you. You can't wait for your life to be perfect in every area before you attempt doing great things in other areas. Hallelujah. Whatever is not working for you in that area. You see, sometimes your whole life is crippled because you're giving too much attention and energy to this one area that's not working. Perhaps the efforts that you are putting into this one area that's not working, if it was applied somewhere else, will bring you so much return that it will compensate for the absence of this in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, that it would give you so much benefit and so much blessing that you would actually not even need this, or it will compensate for the absence of this in your life. Hallelujah. And so we don't have to wait and sit around what is not working. Just move on with what is working. Amen. Hallelujah. What is working because God has given you grace for it. And when God gives you grace for something, that's where your strength is. And the Bible says you must be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you find an area where you are graced to do well, an area where you're doing well, where things are working for you, go all out in that area and do your very best in that area. And if you do well enough in that area, it will compensate for the absence of those other things that are not working. Hallelujah. Sometimes we see stars and boxers and soccer players and so on who don't have much else going for them, but they just play soccer and play soccer and play it so well that they are invited to meet the president. You see what I'm saying? Ordinarily, people who do not have a certain education or who do not have a certain standing in society don't get to go to such places. Do you understand? And this guy doesn't have the education and doesn't have the credentials that will earn him a place or a meeting in such a place. But God has given him grace for rolling this little ball. And he just plays it and plays it and plays it and plays it and plays it so well that the president wants to meet him. And he skips everybody who's been to school and has all the credentials and goes straight to meet the president and speaks whatever English he can speak. And it is up to the president to try to understand it. If he can't understand it, too bad. Hallelujah. So you're probably wasting too much time on an area of your life that is a struggle. And it's leaving you constantly depressed. It's leaving you constantly unhappy. It's making you look down on yourself. Your self-esteem has dropped considerably. You don't feel like you ought to feel about yourself because your focus is on the wrong thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that's a little, you know, bonus there. Your offerings don't cover that one. It's just a little bonus in the message. Amen. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? But I was trying to tell you how that this Naaman, he was a mighty man, and by him, in spite of being a leper, God had accomplished so many things and so on. But he was leprous. Hallelujah. And he had a problem. And then one of his little girls told him about a prophet, a man of God, who was called Elisha, isn't it? And Elisha went, someone said he should go and see him, go and see the man of God, and the man of God would pray for him and he would be healed. He said he had heard so many things about this man of God. So Naaman packed his stuff and then he traveled and went all the way to go see this man of God. Now, when he got to the man of God's place, his church or his office or wherever it was, you know, he was expecting that even being an important person, remember we're talking about the power of words spoken from a distance by the man of God and having faith in it. Hallelujah. So when he got to the man of God, he said, now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Hallelujah. Then verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Verse 3. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come to thee, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." You know? And then verse next, please. Okay, verse 7. All right, good. This is the one I want, so it's okay. Verse 9. That's all right. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Do you see? Then verse 10. Is it coming? Okay. Tell me when it's there. All right. So verse 10. Is it there? Okay. Verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, look at that. Go back to verse 9, please. Verse 9. What is going on up there? Okay. So in verse 9, Naaman came with his horses, and he stood with his chariot at the door of the house of Elisha. I mean, he was expecting that he would be brought in and specially escorted like he was probably used to, you know. I mean, he was a big guy who was used to good treatment, isn't it? Special treatment. He was favored in every place he went to. So he came and stood there. And then Elisha instead sent a message unto him saying, go and bath. He said, go wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. And verse 11 says, Naaman was wroth. That means he was very upset. And went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Hallelujah. So this is where his faith was at. Amen. He came to the man of God with his own ideas about what it takes to heal someone of his leprosy. Isn't it? Now, sometimes we come to God with our own ideas about what it takes for God to help us. Isn't it? We come with our own prescribed our ideas about what God must do in order to be able to help us. But the Bible says his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Hallelujah. So the way God may choose to go about something may be very different from what you think he should be doing about the situation. Hallelujah. And you need to augment and step up your faith to a level where you believe that whatever or however God chooses to go about being a blessing to you or resolving an issue for you is acceptable for you no matter what process or how he goes about it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So here is a man who didn't believe or didn't have as much faith as the other general we read about. Hallelujah. The other general said, you don't have to come. You don't have to come at all. You just stand there and say something. Just stand there and speak some words. I know it because he said, I'm a general. I have people under me. And I know how you can tell one person, you know, go, and he goes. And you tell another person, come, and he comes. He said, I know how authority works. I know how power works. Hallelujah. I know that anybody who has some authority and who has some power is able to command. He's able to speak. He's able to give instructions. And he's able to give assignments and issue instructions. And they will be carried out and they will yield what they are supposed to yield. So you don't even have to come to me. And when Jesus saw that, Jesus said, this type of faith is a little different from the regular faith that everybody has. This is great faith. Hallelujah. This is great faith. Great faith is the faith that believes above what ordinary faith believes. Great faith says, you don't have to come and touch me. Great faith says, you don't have to come to this place. You know, great faith says, you don't have to do anything. Just stand there, stand there, stand there, and just speak the word. And I believe with all my heart that my servant will be healed. May God give you that kind of faith in the name of Jesus. May God help you to have great faith, that you will have this kind of faith that believes that if just powerful words were spoken over your life, it will be a blessing to you. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So that is great faith. Amen. Then the next type of faith is weak faith, of course. Weak faith, isn't it? And that can be found in Romans chapter 4 and from verse 17. Romans chapter 4 and verse 17. Okay, right? Weak faith is the next one. After that, you also have strong faith. Okay? And we read about those from those verses. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Right? Now, this is about Abraham. Amen. And the Bible is talking about Abraham having a lot of faith. Hallelujah. And he says that God had told him, even though he was an old man, that he was going to be the father of many nations. He was going to be the father of many nations, you know. And Abraham believed God. No, go stay on verse 17. Abraham believed God, okay. And he said he believed God, because God is able to quicken the dead, isn't it? And then he believed God because he said, God calls those things which be not as though they were. Hallelujah. So it is not being unrealistic to make a confession of something. Do you understand? Because you desire it. Hallelujah. You are not being silly and unrealistic when you say, I am healed and I'm strong, when you're obviously sick. Amen. You are not being silly when you say that this is a mega church when we are just a few people here. Hallelujah. You are not being silly when you say, I am rich, I have no needs, when you have outstanding bills and you don't even know how you're going to pay them. Isn't it? Yeah. You are not doing the wrong thing when on your way to the bus stop to catch the bus, you say, I have a car. You are not doing the wrong thing when you start to speak and call the things which be not as though they were. Hallelujah. That is faith. You call the things that be not as though those things are. Hallelujah. Now the next verse, verse 18, who against hope, this is still Abraham, says Abraham against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Hallelujah. Amen. He was an old man, and that is the reason why the Bible says it is against hope. Isn't it? Because he was very old and past the age of reproduction. Amen. And yet God had told him he was going to be the father of many nations. So the Bible says he believed it because he says God has a way of calling things that be not as though they were. And I want to believe him. And so against hope, he believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Hallelujah. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Right. And so verse 19, the Bible says, he was not weak in faith, isn't it? And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Wow. You see, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. In other words, he refused to consider the things that were against him. He refused to consider the things that made it impossible. He refused to look at the reasons why it will not work. Because anytime you're trying to do something and are trying to apply your faith, suddenly a whole lot of factors assemble themselves to attack that faith. You suddenly have so many reasons and you begin to see so many things that points to the fact that your faith may not work. Hallelujah. Sometimes when you're trusting God for someone to be healed, I mean, all you have to do is to wait and see the doctor's report. And suddenly you can see that nothing is going to work here. I mean, from this report, what your faith is looking for is not likely to happen. Hallelujah. But Abraham just decided, it wasn't that he didn't know the facts, but he just said, I will not consider those. I'm not going to be focused on those. He said, I know that I am 100 years old. See, it's a different thing when you're talking about someone who didn't know his age and who was probably guessing that maybe I might be too old for this. But he was fully aware that he was very old. And then he also knew that his wife couldn't have a baby because they had lived for a long time and it hadn't happened. Hallelujah. And so he said he refused to focus on the deadness of his own body or his wife's womb. And he decided to believe God. Hallelujah. He decided to believe God. And the Bible says it was because he was not weak in faith. Amen. So weak faith focuses on the reasons why not. Weak faith focuses on why it will not work. Weak faith is looking always at the odds that are against you. Weak faith is looking always at the reasons why it will not work. Hallelujah. But strong faith is just the opposite. Hallelujah. So in verse 20, he says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You see, he staggered not. When someone is staggering, it means he's not walking in a steady way, isn't it? I mean, drunkards or drunk people typically stagger, isn't it? They walk, like walking a little bit, falling a little bit, you know, trying to hold on to something, you know, taking a little break to try to figure out where they are, you know. And sometimes they're trying to just step over the curb, and the curb seems to be moving. So the curb is right here, but, and you see, so they have to open their eyes like that because they think maybe the curb, I can't see it properly, and they think they should just open their eyes a little wider, and then the curb is just right there, and they're trying to step over it, but because at some point it's like it's there, and then it's coming back, and it's moving there again, and it's coming back, and hey! It's not easy to be drunk, I tell you. So you see them staggering, you know, at something that is constant, that's a promise. You see, you would have thought that if it's a promise, it means you can rely on it. If it's a promise, it means it's solid. But when your faith is weak, do you understand? Then you begin to stagger. So just like the curb never goes anywhere, isn't it? But it is your drunken state that is causing you to stagger and making the curb, which is giving. The curb is a promise. The curb is lying there. It's not going anywhere. It was there probably before you were born, and it's going to be there long after you are dead. Do you understand? It's a solid something that is there. But what is making the curb seem like it's shifting and moving? And that is because you are staggering. Hallelujah. You are staggering. And the Bible says in the realm of faith, we stagger through unbelief. Now I believe, now I don't believe. Now I believe, now I don't believe. Yesterday I believed, today I don't believe. Tomorrow I believe, the next day I don't believe. Is it going to happen? Yes, it will happen. Oh, maybe not. It's not going to happen. But it's going to happen. No, it won't happen. And through that, we begin to go up and down in faith. But that's what Abraham refused to do. Hallelujah. And the Bible says he was strong in faith. Amen. So those who are strong in faith do not stagger at the promise of God. They do not stagger at all. Anybody who is sober and strong does not stagger, and he does not, you know, he just crosses the curb or steps over it with precision, isn't it? And they are steady because they know what they are doing. Hallelujah. So when you have strong faith, when your faith is strong, you don't stagger at the promises of God. You believe that the promises of God are yea and amen. You believe that God will do what he said he will do. Hallelujah. You believe that if God has promised it, then that settles it. That is what it is, and that is what it's going to be. That if God said it, you can count on it. If God said he will supply your needs, you can count on him to supply your needs. If God said he will heal you, you can count on him to heal you. If God said, though your beginning is small, but your latter end will greatly increase, you better believe that your latter end will greatly increase. If God said it, know that it's as fixed and solid as the curb. You just need to get sober and come out of your drunken state. Hallelujah. Because if God said it, he will do it. God's word is reliable. Hallelujah. God's word is reliable. No matter what your experience has been, no matter what has gone on in your life, God's word is reliable. The one who needs fixing is you, not the curb. The one who needs fixing is you, not the word of God. God's word is true. God's word is reliable. And you need to have faith, strong faith. Weak in faith makes you consider the impossibilities. It makes you look at all the odds. It makes you look at all the things that are against you. It makes you look at your school. It makes you look at your age. It makes you look at your income. It makes you look at, you know, the fact that you don't have a job. How am I going to pull this off? It makes you look at how many people have said no to you. It makes you look at how many people have been turned down already. It makes you look at all the impossibilities and all the things that are against you. That's weak faith. Weak faith makes you do that. But strong faith does not stagger. Strong faith says, I know that there are things that are against me, but I will not look at those. I'm going to look at God's promise. I'm going to stand on this one fact that God said he will do it. God said he will supply my needs. God said I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's what God said. That's what God said. That's what I believe. It doesn't matter how I feel in my body. You see, sometimes we are too loyal to our bodies. And our loyalty to our bodies and our feelings makes it so difficult to trust God for anything. But you must have more loyalty and faith in God's word than in how you feel. Hallelujah. How you feel about a situation, how you feel even about a person sometimes. You need to have more faith in God's word. Hallelujah. More faith in God's word that they will get better. More faith in God's word that they will improve. That this is not the end. That life is long. Hallelujah. That there will be more opportunities for change. People do change. Hallelujah. We don't give up. When you see something that has a lifespan of at least 70 years, you don't give up on it when it's messing up in the first 70. Hallelujah. There are more opportunities for change. More things are going to happen. There will be more chances. More things will change in the future. Hallelujah. So we need to have that kind of faith. And we need to have strong faith. And that's going to be a blessing to us. Amen. Well, our time is up. And so I'm going to close right here. And I'm going to continue next time. Amen. You know, I didn't really get to the message. I was going to share with you about how to develop your faith. But for you to understand how to develop your faith, you need to understand that there are types of faith, isn't it? So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to establish the types of faith, and then we're going to move on from there to develop the faith that you have. by the grace of God. Amen. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Hallelujah. All right. Wow. How many feel like God needs to increase your faith today? What a blessing. Let's pray and just thank God. Everybody just pray and say, Lord, I don't want to have weak faith or little faith. I want to have great faith and strong faith. I want to have Abraham's type of faith. I don't want to have little faith like Peter did, the kind that collapses in the middle of trusting God. I want to be able to trust God all the way to the end. That's the kind of faith I want to have. I want to have the kind of faith that makes me believe that even if just a few words are spoken over my life, things can change drastically. That words spoken by an anointed person over my life, even from a distance, even if he didn't touch me, God is still able to do something with those words. Because it's not just about the touch, but it is the fact that anointed words are spoken over your life. I want you to pray for a moment and say, Lord, increase my faith. Grow my faith, Lord. Let me be strong in you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Thank you for the opportunity today to share the word on faith. Help us to grow in faith. Let us be a faith church. Let us be a faith congregation. Let's be a congregation that believes and trusts. Not a congregation that staggers at the promises of God. A congregation that believes, that refuses to consider the dead situations, the odd situations, the negative situations that rise up against us every day, or that we are staring at every day, but rather that we will throw our faith on the Word of God, that against hope, we will have hope. We will believe that God is able to perform as He said He would. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We know we can count on you. We know we can trust you. We know, oh God, that your word is true and that our faith will allow us to experience it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, just as we bring the service to a close, everybody close your eyes just as we pray a final prayer. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be a Christian. I want Jesus to be Lord over my life. I want my sins to be forgiven. If that is you, I want you to raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. Then maybe you're also here and you're saying that I'm a Christian, but I'm not a serious Christian. I want to be a serious Christian. I want to be a strong Christian. I want to take God seriously from today onward. And if that is your prayer also, I want you quietly to raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray with you. You're saying that I want to be a Christian. I want to be a child of God. I want to be serious with the Lord and I want to be a serious Christian. Raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Is there anyone here like that today? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, why don't we all just say this prayer together? Say, Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Say, I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth that God raised you from the dead. Say, come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. And make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.